This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net, brilliant goal! On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs! Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot! Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella, who will try and place it, wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason.
Terror in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward.
Oh wow, what a run! Yunmin Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs.
Welcome to that non-boxed intro. From New Spurs Order, aka Touchline Hotspur, back again with some happier times. Yao, firstly, how are you doing from HQ?
Yeah, obviously, HQ's got a different background today, so you know what time it is. No, I'm good, I'm blessed. Good start to the season, but we will get into the breakdown and all of that stuff. But so far, so good. So I'll try not to be harsh today.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. Tops, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, good, bro. Mixed feelings about the transfer window, but good-ish start to the season. So yeah, just happy, man. Just here, bro.
Yeah, so we're definitely getting into it. And lastly, Era, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, you know. D-ragged up. You know, we're in that position right now where, like, we ain't got a lot of expectations on us, man. So, without the weight of expectations right now, I'm feeling nice. Let me not lie.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. We can't get too gassed because then whenever we do, it ends up going tits. Last season, for example. And, yeah, we've got Tobes joining us slightly later on in the stream. I think he's heading home from the gym, being topless and stuff. It is what it is. But as of today, we've just come out of the transfer window, and yeah, man, we've been busy. We've had a new sporting director in Paratici. Apparently, that's I think that's the right way to say it now. And yeah, everyone's been making noise about how much is on his phone. No, because I keep on getting rinsed for how I pronounce English names. If I get rinsed for how I pronounce foreign names, then they're gonna run me out of the group and cancel me,
bro. I wanna
Paratici. I said I used to say Paratici.
Everyone used to say Paratici, so you could be safe with that.
But I'm hearing Ali Gold. I'm going to throw him under the bus a bit because I'm hearing Ali Gold say Paratici now as well. So, yeah, I'm kind of rocking with that while trying to be the Paul Heyman of the new Spurs order, even though he was never in the original NWO. I'm going to try and force it. But yeah, man, he's been busy with his charging bars. I think someone needs to get him like a Tottenham logo on a man bag and just have all these power bars in there. And that actually looked pretty drippy. But yeah, firstly, I'll come to you, Yao. Firstly, I think you'll be well equipped to speak about this. I want to cover the outgoings more. I feel like the first priority of the new Spurs order was originally to get rid of the Deadwood, get rid of players who you didn't necessarily want to see here. Were you pleased with our outgoings? And afterwards, what would you say we did or how we did in that area out of 10?
To be honest with you, I think what a couple pods back we all had a list of like players we wanted to leave. I think the number racked up to a maximum of like nearly 10 players. And coming off a year of like
it's 10 players minimum.
Yeah, 10
for everyone, even the apologists like myself.
So but coming off if we're being realistic, coming off the year of like COVID that we just had, that was very unrealistic, regardless of how angry everyone was with particular players. Judging on the outgoings, we got rid of Sissoko, Danny Rose. I mean, Danny Rose's contract was at an end anyway. Serge Aurier due to mutual termination, which I'll come back to that. the guy with no CV has been sent to Celtic on loan. Should have been a full-time deal, but it's fine. We live with it. Joe Hart is off the books. Who else went? I can't think of anyone else.
Wait, Alderweireld.
Oh, yeah, Alderweireld and Lamela.
Gazzaniga,
yeah. So if I'm rating it out of 10, considering the fact that, you know, it's coming off the back end of, you know, COVID and all of that stuff, I'd say it's possibly between a 7 and an 8 out of 10, to be honest with you, with the outgoings. Because I didn't think, and knowing Spurs in the past, I didn't think we would even be able to get rid of that many Deadwood players or players that are not necessarily even knocking on the fringe no more, that are either in decline or they're just not good enough to take us forward. So taking Sissoko off the books, he was on 95k a week to do what? what was he doing? If you're wasting money like that, you should have spent it on me. At least I would have invested in cryptocurrency or something. Yeah, this is nonsense. So no, Sissoko going was key because I didn't want to see him. Somebody like Lamela, as much as I got like stocks in Lamela, he just was cooked over here. It wasn't going to work for him no more in this country, in this league. So I'm happy that he's, you know, settled back in Spain and he's doing his thing for Seville. That's fine. That's worked out. With Aurier, the fact that we were like, you know what, boom, we couldn't get rid of you during the window. We're just going to terminate your contract. I can't name the last time Spurs ever did that. I can't.
You know what? Yeah,
that's a big thing.
You have to give some credit to Aurier, though, bro. You have to, man. Because I feel like if we would get rid of a lot of these men, if we could, but some of them don't even want to leave. That's why it's a non-starter. Like, you can't even have the conversation.
I mean, agreed. Lamela's never agreeing to a mutual termination. I don't think Sissoko does either.
There is a part where I'm like, all right, yeah, cool. It's definitely probably 60-40, 50-50 or whatever you want to break it down. My only issue with the whole Aurier thing is he's been wanting to leave for like maybe 3 seasons. I can't... Nobody can tell me that in 3 years his agent couldn't find him a move somewhere. Like... If your whole ethos is you want to leave Spurs, then where your next move is, no offense, shouldn't really be that big of a deal. If you really are done. Like we had it with Eriksen, yeah. And Eriksen was like, all right, fine, I'm not going to get my preferred move, yeah. Inter came in, he made it happen, and he went in January. Like there wasn't no like, oh, you know what, it's Inter, I don't want to go to Italy. Like he may have not even wanted to go to Italy, but he understood that, yeah. At least I get to go to new pastures and at least try there. I couldn't tell you what teams were involved with Aurier, because I saw the post where he was saying, you know, he's whatever colours he is for life, because he didn't want to go to a particular team in France. And then I'm hearing rumours that he may go to Arsenal. That's the kind of stupidness that, you know, we just can't allow to slide. So with Aurier, I'm happy that the club were like, you know what, we couldn't get rid of you during the transfer window. We're just going to terminate your contract and pay that off and get that out of the way. I'm extremely disappointed, and I'll say that one more time. I'm extremely disappointed that Winks was not sold in this window. And I hope he goes in January. Like, I don't want to see him again.
Please just don't compare him to Bonnie and his sibling in the fallopian tube again. I can't take it. It hurts my soul too much.
Ah, man. Yeah, but 8 out of 10 for me. The club surprised me with the amount of players they got rid of. Yeah, they didn't get rid of Dier. Dier's another one who, I wish he'd gone. But I think coming off COVID, a lot of people, if we got rid of 10 players, that would have been incredible. And I can't name another club across...
I think we even did, you know?
Yeah. I can't name another club across the whole of Europe that got rid of as many players as we did. So I think people need to take that into consideration.
That's true. I think you can only really say Inter, but they're essentially forced to due to financial reasons. But yeah, mad. When you put it like that, then yeah, it's definitely a good perspective. Ash came in with, did I hear you say 7 out of 10? We were just talking about the outgoings. Like, generally... 5 out of 10 is closer to what the general window would be scored, but you know, we'll get into how we'd score it in just a sec. Really, very eloquently put by yourself, Yael. Tops, just coming to you, did you see Paratici's interview that Soph here just put in? Did you appreciate it, and you know, did you agree with what his plan was essentially in the video?
Yeah, like I mentioned something in the group earlier on this week, I think, that it looks like the kind of profile player that we're getting does seem to be kind of young players with high amount of potential. I have said that I think I look at a lot of the signings that we bought, even though they're young, none of them are actually polished. They all look very kind of raw, which is kind of good because it means that they can obviously be coached and improve. But there's enough in them to kind of give us the feeling that there'll be some potential in the future. I mean, lots of Spurs fans will probably look at it as being not good enough because they want, you know, ready-made players, like as I do. We want to be winning. But in the scheme of things, this is the rebuild that was predicted, along with a lot of players who have been shifted. Lots of good young talents been bought. So I can't fault it. I like Paratici. I like how he comes across. I also like how involved he is with the players, the setup. He clearly is a football man, which is, you know, what we've been screaming out for. And obviously, like, you know, he's been in the job a couple months now, but he's really been put to work. And one of the things we've been screaming is for the outs. So, you know, as we said, we can't get 8 or 9 outs in one sort of sitting. But I imagine slowly over the next couple windows, we will slowly try to work all that out and then bring in obviously more quality, but more proven potential. And one thing I quite liked about what he said was that, although, you know, us as fans and commentators and pundits can look at the club and look at the team and say they need this, they need that, I did like the fact that he mentioned that the club is trying to move in a calm and composed manner when it comes to these things. Things might come across their table, players might be offered to them, but there's no rush, there's no... Because for so long, I feel like we've just had no forward planning. And it doesn't seem as if we're making any rash decisions. So at this point, I mean, can't complain. I'm happy with a lot of the outs, even though I want more. I'm happy with the young ins, although I still feel that we did need at least two first team players to improve the first 11.
100%.
At centre back or central midfield, attacking midfielder, however you look at it. But for now, Nuno seems to be getting the job done. He is what he is at the moment, so I can't fault him. Three games, three wins, no goals conceded. But I know how this goes, so I'm not jumping to any conclusions just yet.
Can I just chip in because I saw Ash's comments? I think a lot of fans need to take into consideration because, you know, fans are saying, oh, we didn't get a creative midfielder. We're one injury away from a crisis. I mean, then if that's the case, everyone's one injury away from a crisis. Kane hasn't even scored in the season so far. Like, so you just have to, like, I know people are going to be like, oh, Kane always bags. He always bags. And Son always bags. And all right, yeah, cool. But that's not how football works. You know, it's always going to come down to how the team deals with situations posed upon them by their opponents across the season. So we've had three games. We scored three different types of goals. We've won in three different types of manners. Son's got two out of the three goals. And he's third goal, the second goal, in fact, that he scored against Watford. For me, I like those kind of goals. That's where free kicks should be put from that area. They should be put in the danger area and make everybody panic. Yeah. So I'm happy that we, you know, we've won our three games. I think people should relax on the whole, well, one injury away, because the truth of the matter is, when have we ever not been one injury away from an apparent crisis? So I don't think it's a crisis situation right now. It's more, let's see how certain players who have been given a second chance, even though they don't deserve it, Bamademi, Eli, let's see how they cope this season.
I thought you said Bamademi, Eli, then. But
No, that's exactly what I said.
Bamademi, Eli, man.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Let me jump in as well, man. I want to give a little bit of perspective about, because I see people saying this window is kind of like 5 out of 10, and I slightly agree with it. But what was the year that we bought in Son? Was that 15, 16 or 14, 15? I can't remember which one it was.
I feel like 15, 16.
Yeah, it was a season 15, after Posh signed, yeah.
Yeah, so that year, that's probably the best year for outgoings that we've had, yeah, in the past 10 years, when we got rid of like Soldado, Capoue, Paulinho, Stambouli, like in terms of getting rid of dead weight, that's been the best one. Since then, we've struggled to get rid of dead weight, yeah? So you could say this has been the best year in about 7 years in terms of getting rid of dead weight.
Yeah, that's
easily.
True.
There's no argument. There's no debate about it. It's easily the best year. So in terms of that, yeah, I'm happy that it seems like we're changing direction at least, and we're getting rid of dead weight at a time when it matters. There's been years in the past, like the year when we got rid of Dembele, I think we got rid of like one player, bro. I think it was just him and Onoma. That was it. Like, there's been some ridiculous years. We've only bought in one player, things like that. So we have to call a spade, innit? This year hasn't been terrible. Where it has been terrible, though, in my personal opinion, is in terms of covering players. Like, I know, like y'all said, it's not necessarily a crisis. I wouldn't say it's a crisis. But I think you've got like this situation with Skip, where Skip is like the natural fit in midfield for a particular role. Obviously, it's not a single pivot. The style of the team doesn't play like that. But it kind of develops into that in the middle of a game sometimes, where he's playing that kind of role. And the problem, in my opinion, is that Skip he shouldn't be starting 38 games a season. It's not his issue at all. But when he's going to need a rest, what my issue is that we're going to revert. We're going to go back to what we were doing last season. Put Højbjerg about a bit further back into that kind of role. And then, boy, unless Ndombele comes in, we're going to start looking like that team that really needs that creative midfielder again. And that's where I'm struggling to see like where we've made progress. But again, it's early days and I've never seen Spurs go the first three games without conceding, let alone winning all three. So credit where it's due, but again, we need to see like where that pathway leads to, I think. And the only other thing I would say is, I don't know, man. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but how do you feel about buying players and then loaning them back out? Especially in positions where we need them.
It depends. It does depend. Because when we're buying kind of young players, like I tend to be a bit more selfish, even though, you know, most of the time it probably is the right thing for the player's development to loan them back out. But when we're buying a player who's going to be playing in essentially what is a primary position we need to cover, so obviously Pepe Mata Sarr, the prime example of that, we desperately need maybe some more cover and centre midfield. He's an improvement, I think, on Sissoko departing, so him taking that place in the squad, and he would have got minutes, and I think it would have been productive. Again, like I say, an improvement on the squad. So personally, I would have probably kept him for the season, and I feel a certain way about it. But again, at the same time, like, low key, I know it's going to be better for the player's development. So yeah, like I appreciated Paratici's or Paratici's interview. Just like essentially just the principle of him kind of having that clarity to come out with the plan. But I disagreed with it to a point because, you know, we need to sign maybe one or two players for the first team now, like Top said earlier. So, yeah, for me, I think we could have leaned a bit further on the whole kind of signing a first team, signing for the first team. But
I think, and I can't believe I'm going to do this because, you know, somebody in the comments is going to be like, he always does this. But I disagree. I disagree on the loaning the players out and being, I understand what you're saying, Owen. And in some regards, you're right. But the reason why I disagree on bringing Sarr in for this season is going from France to England is a massive culture shock for anyone. And he's 18 years of age. So this is meant to be one of the top young talents, as Paratici mentioned. And a lot of people have actually mentioned that a lot of the talent that we bought are like young but top talent in their own right. And that's fine. You know, Romero being voted best centre-back last season in Serie A. Gil apparently is one of the best young up-and-coming Spanish players. So with Sarr, you see, the difference with Gil and Sarr is Hill was already playing first team football at a club that, and I mean this in the nicest way, two Mets, but Hill was playing at a club that you could say, all right, you know, they've got a bit more pedigree to them than Mets. Sarr, 18 years of age, didn't even go to the Olympics. Hill did. So there's a little bit more maturity in Brian's case than there is in Sarr. I'm not saying that he's immature. I'm saying that sending him back on loan to somewhere where he's still familiar, he already knows the setup, we can already take that year to develop him and prepare him for the move here so that when he does eventually arrive, it's not so much a culture shock. He's slightly in a better place and that will take a lot off his mind before he steps onto the pitch and hopefully gets minutes for us. And that's where I stand with like loaning players out. Because we've got many in the past where it's not worked out. And, you know, Clark is one of them. Clark is an absolute stinker, bro. That one stunk up the whole joint.
There's a lot of them, man.
So I'm pretty happy with Sarr going back out on loan. And I do get what Errol was saying about Højbjerg dropping. And I think one of my biggest fears is my biggest problem with Spurs in general is the mentality of players. And this is the thing that annoys me across, because a lot of people don't really take that into consideration. And I know people said, oh, we want first teamers and stuff like that. And so I'm one of them as well. I want first teamers. But I have to also be realistic in the sense that we're no longer in the Champions League. We're in the Conference League. We got given a safe draw. I mean, we could have been traveling to Uzbekistan for all we knew, but like we were saved in the draw. We're not in the Champions League, we're in the Conference League. And a lot of young players now, or young talented players or potential first teamers, are stubborn now. They won't even consider Europa League. they might maybe moving forward, because Europa League has now changed the format and it's like a tougher competition, but they literally are saying to clubs like Spurs, Chelsea, not that team that's bottom of the league, United, Liverpool, City, they're saying to these teams, look, I don't mind you looking at me because you've got history, you've got pedigree, but I want Champions League football. So I'm a holdout for a team that essentially, you know, has Champions League football. And that's why we couldn't get, you know, Jules, I don't know what is going on with my haircut, Koundé over the line, because, you know, that's essentially what these players want. So that's where I feel like, I think this is going to be the most of all the seasons that we've probably been Spurs fans. This will be the season in which you can really sift out the fans that watch football, know football, understand football, from the fans that are just playing FIFA every single week. This is the season. We've got a new stadium. There's money. There's definitely money in the club. You can't tell me that, because we sent Lamela to Seville with 25 million. When have we ever done that? When have Spurs ever sent a player given cash to get a youngster?
This is the thing as well. To summarise our outgoings, we made, when we got rid of £40 million annually in wages. That's not including the wages of the players that we've brought in, but total players. Let's see, someone like Bale, Toby, Sissoko taking up a big chunk of that. 40 million is quite a lot. To not be spending on the first team as much as we did. But yeah.
Essentially, that 40 million paid for Amazon.
Effectively.
You can see that.
I mean, it's business. You know, that's how we got to look at it. Like, I can't sit here and be upset, yeah, that we've got how many right backs? Three right backs now, because Aurier's gone. I can't sit here and be upset because one of the right backs is a variant. He's not a real person. So we've only got two right backs.
Man, that's if you count Tanganga's right back. But sorry,
I've got a question here on mentality. Like, you brought up mentality. Do you think, because I guess, all right, let me set the stage for this year. I think that, cool, Aurier leaving, it shows a kind of mentality that's not really in our squad a lot. I think Kane tried to show it a bit this season, yeah? But it's that ruthlessness. It's that, you know what, bro? I'm backing myself. Do you get what I mean? I'm not gonna sit on the bench for a year. I'm backing myself, bro. Like, I'm done. Let's go. I'm going to show my talent somewhere else. I don't think there are many people on the Spurs roster at the moment that are doing that. Like, I think we brought in players that are doing that. I don't think you leave Barcelona unless you back yourself. You know what I mean? I don't think you have a standout season in Serie A, best defender, and then leave unless you back yourself. I think, you know what I mean? I think we brought players who are backing themselves. But what I was going to say is, do you think there is an effort to be changing that attitude in the squad at the moment? Or do you think it's just a coincidence?
I think there is an actual effort, and I will give that to the club. I think there is an effort, because you have to look at the accolades that have been attached to the players that we've bought. You know, in the past, we'll buy a player, he might be, in the case of Soldado, for argument's sake, Soldado came off a decent season, was considered to be not one of the premier shooters in La Liga, but was one of the shooters in La Liga. And we bought him and thought, all right, cool, he's going to turn it over. But when we were first coming up in the mid-2000s, we would get players like Robbie Keane. And people knew what Robbie Keane was about. We would get Berbatov, and we knew Berbatov was a real shooter at Leverkusen. Like, we would get players, and you're like, I get where you're going with this. And then somewhere around, I don't know where we fell off, but somewhere around 2011 to about 2015, it crashed. Yeah? And we started to get the second, third option. And the third
Hassan Ghali, Timu Tuyanio.
Yeah, we started to get players like Chadli. And I'm not insulting Chadli here, but Chadley's not an option for say a big club. Like, he really isn't an option. Even if he was young, like, what are you really getting from him? So you flip it to now 2021, Brian Hill. And this is the key factor of what they've been saying. Brian Hill was scouted to be one of the top talents coming out of Spain, one of the top. So it wasn't like, oh, he's a potential top talent. They mentioned him as one of the. So he's in that bracket. That's one. you got Romero, who got given the best centre back accolade in Serie A last season. That's two. Then you got Pape Sarr, who's considered to be one of the best up and coming DMs in his position for his age group. That's three. And you start to think to yourself, all right, maybe they are changing, you know, the way they're thinking and how they're approaching stuff. Aurea may have said, you know what, I don't want to be here no more, I back myself. But one of the key things that I thought was interesting about the mentality of Spurs and hopefully where we're going in the future is they're like, boom, you might want Kane, cool. This is how much it is. They didn't even bop, like, mince their words about it. Like, you go do all your other transfers, yeah, but don't come to back to us with, like, all of this small negotiation. It's peace or be quiet. And that was it. And I rated that because back in the day, like, how many times have we sat there as Spurs fans and been like, oh, all this transfer that they're doing is really Kane's money. Or it's Bale's money. Or it's Modric's money. Like, we've been here before. So to come to deadline day and know, like, yo, Kane ain't going nowhere, bruv. Son ain't going nowhere, bruv. And Ndombele ain't going... Like, we started off that transfer deadline day knowing that Ndombele ain't going nowhere. I was dead sure this guy's gone.
Nah. Same here. Nah, I always said it was more realistic for Ndombele to go than Kane.
The reason why I was dead sure he was gone is because this is Spurs I'm talking about. Like, how many times have we caved in to the demands of the say, top-tier players? We've caved in many seasons. Go check the history. We've caved in. We caved in on the final day, sent Berbatov to Man United, and freaking got... What's that youth's name from Fraser Campbell? That guy is dead! He's dry, bro. We got 30 million from Fraser Campbell. What talent pool did Fraser Campbell come out of? Where? He's not even in the talent pool of freaking Tottenham Leisure Centre. What talent pool did he come from? Guy's dry.
The Northern Ball.
Guy's dry. So I think the mentality is changing. The thing that I will say in terms of the mentality, I think that's more down to having a footballing director in the mold of Paratici. He seems to be a guy, and like, it's taken me a while. I thought I've done my research on him. I'm like, all right, cool. They speak about him highly. But he seems to be a guy that he doesn't just go for, like, there's reasoning behind who he goes for. Like, there's a lot of reasoning behind who he goes. Even Adama. I don't want Adama. Yeah. But he may have been like, you know what? Adama will come in, he'll create havoc. That might be good for the team, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I don't mind that when you're a club that you're thinking, right, this is a potential, blah, 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 blah. What I do mind is if Adama is your main target. That's nonsense to me. Yeah, that's where you piss me right off. When Adama, who we know hasn't even broken 10 assists in his entire career for a season, yeah, is your main target, that's when I'm pissed off. But I know he wasn't our main target. He was just an option. And I can live with that.
I think the main change as well that Paratici's brought in is just making sure that players don't feel comfortable because he's around. And there's obviously we signed players who are...
You're not even comfortable signed. When it ends.
I like that.
Thank you.
I'm around.
I'm around.
I do my job. I do my job. You do yours. You get me? You do your job. Simple.
Lovely quote from a pro spitter and a pro baller, apparently.
He was sick. Like, don't get twisted. T was sick. Yeah. He was cold.
To Tobes as well, who's joining us. We're just talking about the change in player mentality recently and how it could affect it. Essentially, just getting players to be hungry and not comfortable. If you would like to chime in on that, would you agree that that's the shift in mentality now, or do you want to see more?
I think it is the mentality. When you look at players like Ndom, who can't even get a sniff right now, and Nuno is playing players who are willing to put in the hard yards and work, even if we as fans look at it objectively and say, like, this player's not really contributing much, etc., etc. Nuno is not having any of that. If you work for him, you're gonna get given your opportunity. If you ain't gonna work for him, if you ain't gonna show that fight and desire, he's not gonna pick you. And as I said, Ndom is a perfect example of that as well. So it's good. I feel like it's the kick up the backside that our squad's needed, but we know this squad, like, they're capable of looking the part for maybe two, three matches. What we need to see is whether this hunger stands the test of time. Let's see where we're at in 3 weeks' time, in 4 weeks' time, when we play Chelsea, Arsenal. Let's see where we're at in Christmas. Let's see where we're at in February, because it's one thing to do it now and have that hunger and readiness to go at the start of the season. But can you keep that drive for the entirety of the season? Players like Sissoko last year, he packed it in from like January. He packed it in. And he weren't the only one as well. So we just got to, let's just see how it develops. But I'm liking what I'm seeing right now.
For sure. And to summarize, sorry, Tops.
But I can absolutely support him on that. Like, I just feel like this is something that we've seen though with this bunch of players. And I know there's a lot of new players now, and in the past, you know, we don't really like talking about this mentality, but it's just because everything is very fresh. I feel like we just need to see a lot of things happen. We need to see what they're like under adversity. You need to see them concede goals, go behind in games, you know, be up against it before we can kind of say, okay. But up to this point, yeah, absolutely. Like, we know what's in our bullshit DNA, so it's just about waiting to see if it's gonna rear its ugly head, or if we're gonna be rid of it. To be honest with you, man, like.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I was just wanting to summarise the window, because obviously I want to get all of your scores out of 10 and, you know, how you would score it out of 10, because that's a different argument as well. To, again, to summarise, Brian Hill signed him, 20 years old. Emerson Royal, right back. We get onto him. Papa Sarr gone out on loan. Gollini, Romero. Gollini being the oldest of the lot at 26. Romero, 23. Serie A defender of the year. We got Sessegnon and Skip back on loan, and Heung-min Son renewing a contract. I'll go around the cast and see how you'd score the window based on that, and if, you know, if you even count returning loanees and contract renewals as a plus score. Tobes, let's see, how would you do it out of 10? I feel like you're more critical of the bunch.
I think I was being, I don't know if I'm being harsh. I gave it a 4.5 out of 10. I'm willing to go to a 5 out of 10. I can acknowledge the good things that Spurs have done this window. I watched like the first minute of the Paratici interview, and he said that the objective was to sort of renew the squad and bring in some young talent into the team. And I think they've done that. I think Brian Hill, he looks a really good player. Pepe Sarr. I don't know much of him, but from what I saw in those comps, he looks like he's someone who's got a bit of everything. And let's see how he develops. And then I think reintegrating Skip into the starting 11 as well. I'm trying to remember who else we signed. Emerson Royal as well. I think it's clear to see what the club were trying to do. Like, I think. None of our players that we signed are older than, what, like 24, 25 years old. I think Gallini's the oldest player we signed this window. And then in the other side, we've got rid of 32-year-old Alderweireld, 32-year-old Sissoko, 30-year-old Lamela. Danny Rose gone on a free transfer. Got rid of 30-whatever-year-old Joe Hart. So it's clear to see what their objective was. And I commend them for the work that they've done. But when I look at the work that needed to be done on the starting 11, that's why my rating isn't as high. We went into the summer saying that we needed a right winger. We needed two new centre-backs. We needed a right back. Listen, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I'm not expecting them to get it all done, but really and truly, there were maybe 3-4 starting positions that we needed to address. And I would say that we've only addressed 2, Romero and Emerson. Brian Hill could well develop into a starter. You never know, because I don't think the players ahead of him are kicking up any trees or pulling up any trees, sorry. But the midfield is still bleeding. I still feel like that our defense needs work, even though we're playing well right now. You can never trust these guys. We're now back to entering the season with Harry Kane as our only senior striker. All of a sudden, we're resting on our laurels, thinking, oh, because he played the whole season last year, oh, it's fine now. Even though we're going to be in the Conference League, going to be in the FA Cup, going to be in the League Cup, going to be in the Premier League, and we still don't have a right winger, a firm first-choice right winger. So, yes, I can look at the good, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in this team, and for that reason, I can't give it anything more than a 5.
Touché. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the group I gave it a 4.5, but I agree with Tolls on this one. I can't go past the 5 on exactly the points that he raised. But one of the main problems for me was maybe the rest of the season will change this thought process. But we're in 4 competitions. We faced Paco Rabanne in the first leg and lost 1-0 with our young team. Which means that when we go into this group stage, there's going to be a lot of fringe players and potential first teamers that are probably going to be starting these Conference League games. Because, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, the youngsters are just not good enough to beat the lower league professionals that we're going to be facing in this competition. The FA Cup will be a mixture. That's fine. Early stages. Hopefully, you know, we get through that fine. And the same with the League Cup. You know, again, it's going to be a mixture of first teamers and fringe players. The one thing that has worked in our favour is the Euros ending so late, or should I say the Euros and the Olympics coming back to back, that a lot of players haven't had a pre-season and they've had longer holidays to rest up. So essentially, October is where we're going to start seeing players really like hitting the ground running. That's my thought process. So I think September for the majority of players is going to be fitness, getting them back into up to speed. And that's when we'll see a lot of players hitting their form from like end of September moving onwards. In saying that, I cannot believe that for the 6th or 7th season, we're going into another season with Harry Kane as our main striker and pretty much only striker. I don't get it. Yeah, and I know people are like, I get it, the COVID market and all that kind of stuff. But, mate, like, we sounded up 2 strikers in the transfer window. In Lautaro and Vlahovic. Granted, Inter didn't want to sell because they sold Lukaku, even though apparently they accepted our bid. But then Chelsea came and done what Chelsea have done to us for many seasons, scrumpered our deal. And with Vlahovic, it was a case of, did we really want to go and spend 70 million euros? Fine. If you don't want to spend 70 million euros, all right, cool, I get it. He's a young talent and all that kind of stuff. But there's many other strikers out there that had even a good Euros or a good like summer, like Schick from the Czech Republic.
I was thinking him as well.
Like, I'm surprised we didn't take a look at him. If we did take a look at him, I don't know what the prices were, but it's all these little stuff that make me, I'm asking myself, clearly, a lot of people think that we're going to sell Kane next summer. I'm going to be one of the few to say, I doubt that. Yeah. I don't think we are. But if we're not selling him, for the love of God, get somebody to put pressure on this guy. You can't make him feel like, rah, you know what? Yeah, I'm starting regardless. All right, fine. Grant, he didn't start the first 2 games or whatever, and we won them. And he started the last game, and we won that. All right, cool. But that's not the point. as the season moves on, he's going to start starting. And it's not good enough. So I'm with Toby on this one. I'll say a 5. The incomings are good. I want to see Hill take that right wing spot. But I know it would probably be a development over time. I'm interested to see how Emerson Battle Royale does for us, because I've heard good things. And I can't wait for Romero to take Dyer's spot, because he doesn't deserve to be nominated for a player of the month, because he's diabolical. And that's where I stand.
Eloquently put once again. Tops, how would you summarise?
I've said it in the group. I initially gave it a 6 out of 10, but I am going to drop it to a 5.5. I just feel like the outgoings was great, but I always said, whilst the outgoings are important, we needed between 2 and 4 first-team improvements. And I feel like we are still missing first-team improvements. We're largely the same team. If you put in Romero and Royale, we're largely the same team as last season. And to be honest with you, with the outgoings, it's not good enough. So I'm going to go over 5.5. Yeah.
Damn, that's the era. You definitely had a good perspective on how to judge the window earlier on the TL. Yeah. How would you summarize the incoming?
Just to give a bit more context, though, I think if I was judging the window like you guys, I think I'd agree with you. But I feel like from my perspective, you guys are more judging the squad. You're judging what the squad looks like at the end of the window, and it does look like a 5.5 to a 6. I agree fully. In terms of judging the window, like for what the window is, I don't think the goal of the window is to change the team into the team that we need it to be in one window. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's ever been the way how you judge a window. It's Paratici's first window, and I think that he has changed, in my opinion, the way that we look at transfers, specifically during the Mourinho era. The Mourinho era for transfers was trash. It was always, we want to fix this specific problem, and we want to fix it right now, and it doesn't matter what this player is going to look like in a couple of years, we're just doing this now. And then the other thing that we were doing in the Mourinho era is, like, even with Ndombele, bro, Ndombele said from the start, like, Spurs wasn't his first choice, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of got forced and he came. It's great for us, but when it comes down to moments like this now, when he's looking for a reason for why should he stay, he's got nothing, you know what I mean? There's no reason for him to stay. So, I mean, I think I would give this window roughly a seven. And I'll tell you why I'll give it a 7, yeah? Because I like the fact that we've started to change this team from this old people team where everybody feels comfy and everyone's got their starting lineup nailed on, yeah? And I think that the team's starting to change into a team. It's what's the word I'm looking for, man? It's a team that's in transition. It's a team that's in transition. Sorry, say that one more time.
No, it's just agreeing. It's essentially a transition into this new project.
Yes. And even things like, so like, there, people say things that I'm just reading in the comments at the moment, like people are talking about Ings is a no-brainer. I fully agree with that. But I also think from Ings' perspective, it's a no-brainer to not go and play second fiddle with Harry Kane. It's just, you can't have it both ways. It's a no-brainer. Why would Ings want to come and sit on the bench under Harry Kane? It doesn't make sense. You've got Son, you've got Harry Kane, you've got Dele Alli. They're not my first choices for backup strikers. But let's face it, they're going to play there. We all know it. Like, we all know what's going to happen already. So I just think that issue, it's not the top 10 issue. It's not the issue. It's not like going to be one of the burning issues on Spurs' radar. In terms of Kane's contract, like Son, signing Son's contract, getting Son to sign a new contract here, that shows massive intent. I reckon some of the players that came in, they did look at that, I reckon. Yeah, the fact that we didn't get Kane to sign a contract yet anyway, I think that's a minus. That's taken away from what the window looks like. Yeah, and boy, the fact that we didn't sell him, because you could have sold him, selling him might have been a positive, but keeping him and not making him sign a contract, like people said, that takes away from the window too. But overall, I'd give it a 7. I'd say I come out of this window feeling positive about what the next window could look like. And I don't have many fears about the team setup. My biggest fear at the moment is just the whole Skip issue, man. I don't think Skip is a problem, but I just think that once Skip kind of cools down a bit, or once Skip needs a bit of a rest, I really don't know what that midfield is going to look like unless Ndombele comes back.
Damn. I have a slight theory to that, but yeah, I just want to summarize the win. I personally would give it a strong 6. I appreciate the whole landscape of the squad now, and it being younger, hungrier players. The whole forward line wasn't a massive concern to me. Heung-min's son renewing was massive. Skip coming in from his loan, again, massive. My only thing for me was just not getting in that extra centre-back to come into that first 11. Like, even for me, Hakim Anderson, who went to Palace, would have been an improvement. Whether we could have even done a deal for Zuma or not with Chelsea remains, we don't know, but he would have been great for us, I think. I would have even had Jerome Boateng. I would have even had Lewis Dunk. It would have been an improvement on what our first 11 is, as poor as those options may sound. But yeah, they were doable things. But yeah, it's a strong 6 for me. Emerson Royale, his transfer kind of epitomises the winner to me, because we got essentially same quality right back as Aurier. Like, he's a good attacking fullback profile wise, who apparently has his moments, but you know, he's young and he's hungry and wants to be here, whereas Aurier's wanted to leave for 2-3 years. So for that, in that sense, it's positive for me. And with the Skip thing, I think with the Emerson signing as well, him being an attacking fullback, we'll probably see Nuno start playing the three at the back more. That's, I guess, with Romero kind of being that roaming centre-back, that will probably come into midfield sometimes, kind of negates the need for a kind of Skip profile midfielder. And then we'd have perhaps Tongi and Højbjerg in midfield together. And then the forward line will probably make itself up. But yeah.
Wait, one sec though. Are you telling me that's going to be Romero, Dyer and Sanchez at the same time?
Yeah.
What, a player of the month nominee? Yeah, and me. Sanchez, Romero.
You see, the interesting thing about that is...
I'd have Tanganga in that, though, to be fair.
The interesting thing about playing those three at the back is, clearly Romero is the better of the three. Yeah. But, and I know people are going to be like, but it was against Paco and all that. I was like, bruv, players' movements... It doesn't matter what opponent they face. A player's movement is a player's movement. If a player has good movement, it doesn't matter what team they face, you will see it. I watched Romero in that game and I was like, I did not know this guy could find himself in the final third and be comfortable. Listen to me. Yeah, this season, I may be Romero's biggest fan. Yeah, because you don't understand how much the last defender we bought that was comfortable in the final third, was Vertonghen. And Vertonghen was my favorite Spurs defender in recent, favorite. Not, I didn't want to hear anybody tell me about Toby. I didn't want to hear none of that. Yeah. When Jan was playing, I felt comfortable. Yeah. Because I knew. He's good defensively, and if we get into that final third and he's there, he's techie. And that's what I'm seeing in Romero. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. I've got stocks in him. The problem is that he's paired up beside Eric Dondatier Diabolical Dyer, bro.
Dondatier.
Bro, that guy is shocking. Yeah. And the problem with Sanchez, I'm gonna be nice. Apparently, Sanchez has returned back to this club, with a newfound confidence and all of that kind of stuff. And to be fair to him, he's actually been. You can only say this in silence, of course. He's been good. Owen, feel free to retract that from the live feed. he's done his thing over the first three games. The problem with Sanchez is he's not comfortable. Yeah. And that might be the name of the podcast. A man's not comfortable in his own heads. Yeah. and that's the problem. We've got probably one defender that off the back of what we've seen looks comfortable on and off the ball. Sanchez doesn't fill us with confidence like that. And Dyer has never filled anybody with confidence like that. So if we go to a three at the back, I think attacking-wise, we'll look more potent. Because Reguilon, he's got an engine on him, so he's capable of getting back and recovering. This Emerson Royale seems to be like a right back that can get back into position, kind of similar to Kyle Walker, but much slower because Kyle Walker was rapid. So yeah, we may look, you know, a bit more dangerous on the attack. I'm just intrigued to see what happens if we go 1-0 down. That for me will be the telltale sign as to where we're going this season. If we go 1-0 down, we start peppering our opponents like attack. Yeah, then that could be something. But if we go 1-0 down and then we go 2-0 down and then we go 2-1 and then it's 3-1, yeah, it's not good luck. It's because it's gonna be a slippery slope.
One thing I'll say though, I like that we actually have something on the bench to affect games at the moment. Like usually, I feel like we load up kind of top heavy, man. Like we play our best team, which is cool, but when we go 1-0 down and it comes to trying to change something, we've got nothing.
What are you saying, so, big breath, iron board batty?
Yeah, trust me, bro. Nothing at the back. You get me?
Long,
nothing at the back. That's everything up front.
Heavy, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like I know it's early in the season, but we look like a mid-block, low XG team. We don't look like a team that's going to be creating a lot of chances. We don't look like a team that's
going to
be scoring. No, yeah, so the fact is,
that's real.
If the positive is going to be that we are going to be a team that has the better defensive structure and is very good on the transition on counter, then I want us to be very, very good at that. I don't want us to be mid at that. I want us to be very good at it. Because let's be honest, the game against Watford is a game that we're going to come up against a lot in this season. If we take out the game we played against Man City, that was an excellent game in the way that we set up and the personnel we used was excellent for the way we set up against them. And it worked. But we are going to, 9 times out of 10 in this season, are going to play teams who are going to come to Tottenham or we're going to go to them and they're going to be in a deep block. They're not going to want to let us play and they're going to want to try and stifle us as much as possible. I just haven't seen enough to make me feel like, okay, if we go down from a set piece or if we go down from a counter-attack or something, that I can be comfortable that we can suddenly create something out of nothing with the current players that we have. And that's where my issue lies with this current team. Thanks. So I don't want to be harsh on Nuno, and he has said he's not happy. So it means that he knows exactly. That we need work. We need work.
I was going to bring that up. Because it's a perfect segue, Top. So I was going to come back to you as well. It's perfect segue because I'd like to review Nuno so far. He's obviously come out, like you say, and said there's a lot of work that needs to be done. That was pretty evident, especially against Wolves and Watford. How would you review Nuno so far? And is there kind of any telling differences to how Mourinho was?
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
The floor is yours.
You're on mute. Is that Top's or?
Yeah, Tops. Or whoever wants to take it, but
I don't think we're, in terms of the style of play, I don't think it's that much different to Mourinho's. I do feel like, as I've said, defensively, we're structured better. Like, it looks like we have a plan when we are attacking. I do feel like we are missing a little bit of creativity. But again, the season's just started. A lot of players are getting back into the rhythm of everything. I was a big advocate for saying that last season with Mourinho, I just didn't feel like he coached the players very well. I didn't feel like the players, a lot of the time, knew what they were doing. But, you know, games against Watford, games against Man City, I looked at them and thought, OK, we're 1-0. We look like we know what we're doing defensively. And we weren't sitting back. We were actually trying to actively continue playing and continue trying to get the ball up the field. Albeit it was only 1-0, it was 1-0 results. But last season, how many games did we go into that we were 1-0 up and we were under the cosh and conceding late goals or giving up a lot of chances? Like, at this point, I'm going to say yes, very similar, kind of similar to Mourinho, but I think we look a better version of it, a better version. I know people might say that's harsh, but for now, I feel like it will improve, but that's just what we have to accept. We are kind of a low XG team. With Mourinho and with Nuno, it looks like that's the kind of style we will adopt until people become more comfortable. If we have, like, I feel like Emerson is even a good sort of player to get, because whilst he's very similar to Reguilon, he is someone that is happy to engage. And as we see in the Premier League, the use of attacking fullbacks is becoming more and more prominent. So whilst you have someone like Reguilon who gets up and down and is happy to cross from deep, we have a player like Royal who can now engage the defenders in the final third and create opportunities, shots, crosses, goals, like we would like some of the more higher sort of level fullbacks in the league. And I think that's also important as well, because that's just another outlet that we could use to create chances. I feel like Aurier did that to an extent, but again, there was too many lapses in his concentration defensively, blah, 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 that kind of would put us off from doing that. So I think, yeah, absolutely. The building blocks are there, but I still need to see more. I'm not going to be like, I'm happy, because I'm not.
I hear that. And Tobes, you were echoing a lot of Tobes' thoughts when he was talking about us being kind of low block, low XG team.
Definitely.
How would you review Nuno and compare him to kind of Jose?
I think he's done well so far. When you look at what he's had to deal with, I think that's the biggest thing that I can give him credit for. His ability to deal with the cards that he's been, or play with the cards that he's been dealt with, has been superb. And I know maybe superb is a strong word, but like Harry Kane basically throwing a strop and seemingly wanted to leave. Our best midfielder also seemingly wanted to leave. Romero, who we signed in the centre-back, not even fit to play against Man City. I felt like he's had to deal with a fair amount of stuff. Like, and he's only been in the job like, two and a half months or something like that, two and a half, 3 months. So in that respect, I think he's done a superb job in terms of managing the footballing matters that aren't to do with how we're playing on the pitch. And of course, he's won 3 games on the spin. Like, he's won 3 games on the spin, and we've kept 3 clean sheets. Like Top said, the organisation is there. Like, I feel like there is a bit more intention to stuff that we're doing on the pitch now in terms of consistently attacking teams, even after we've gone 1-0 up, and the manner in which we press, it's not as haphazard as the other guy with the press. And yeah, so there are good things to talk about, but again, like Top said, we look like a mid-block low XG side, and that was not my concern per se, because I didn't want Nuno. Like, I don't think he's a bad manager. I actually think he's a good manager, but like, he's a specific type of manager based off what we've seen at Wolves. And it's like, I really wanted Spurs to move away from the mid-block or low-block counter-attacking team to a team who are a bit more expansive and they play on the front foot. And my concern is that games like Watford, like Top said, they're gonna be more of the norm. Like maybe around, I'd say 50-60% of teams in the Premier League are going to play like that against us, home and away. And if we don't have a Sun free kick that goes in, we may go, we may come unstuck. And Nuno has even expressed, which is good, I like it. Nuno's expressed that he's not happy with the way we're playing. Like, he feels like it can improve, because when you're watching it, it clearly can and has to improve. Like, three wins, we can't rest on our laurels. We're not actually playing with any sort of fluidity unless we're playing on the counter. And even then, when we play on the counter, there's still a bit of a quality issue in the final third. So, overall, I think he's done a good job so far, but I think he's going to need to make it work with the group of players that he has over the course of the season in terms of finding other ways for us to win, because we won't be able to beat a lot of sides in the league with the way we're playing now. Like, we may come unstuck at any given point in time, and we need to be able to react. Like Yao said, how is it going to look like when we go 1-0 down? What's the response going to be like? When you look at the performances against Wolves and Watford, that to me, yeah, I think Watford, we had around 15 attempts. Wolves, not so many. But they're not looking to me like sides who can face adversity well and come out on top. So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. He's done a good job so far, though. So big up to him.
And, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think Tongi coming back is going to be massive. I love how you touched upon that we actually do have pressing triggers and an organised press now. That's what I see. I mean, the play style is a little bit questionable, but I like how he kind of facilitates the attackers, because at times under Mourinho, we'd see our wingers playing in full-back positions, not even wing-back, full-back positions on top of our actual right and left-backs. Whereas what he seems to be asking, from what I can see in the first three games anyway, is that the midfielders either side of Skip, which been Dele Hojbjerg, there's this much more emphasis on covering KMs, getting across the ground, and they essentially cover the opposition attacking fullbacks now and centre midfield at the same time, just purely through being able to cover as much ground and placing themselves in the right places to block certain passing lanes. So, yeah, like that setup facilitating the attackers and that emphasis on actually having some runners in the team. Again, like his man management reminds me of early Pochettino. So I think that's positive foundations for Ndombele to come in and kind of be that that indirect Eriksen replacement, because we need creativity so bad. And he's now got that creative burden on his shoulders as long as he actually wants it. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see for me. Like, is there anyone I was essentially gonna say, is there anyone that kind of is that like kind of more areas that he should be doing better in, or necessarily, you know, or one of you aren't happy with currently? Or
are you talking about Nuno?
Yeah.
I think for me, it's still early days. Like, I think he's shown a willingness to work on the right things, if you get what I mean. But what I was going to say is, it's interesting, like, so bring it up there. This does remind me of early Poch teams. It reminds me of early Poch teams, not only in the man management, but in the way that on the pitch, it seems to be, like, I get why you'd see it as, like, a mid-block team. But for me, I see it as, like, a physicality team. Physicality and running, especially off the ball, seems to be like the name of the game at the moment. And I don't know if it's just a thing that he's inherited this mid-block team and he's trying to make the best of a situation at the moment. Because like you said, he's had his two best players throw a strop. There's not really much you can do about that, and I think he's handled it well. And somehow he's managed to get some results out of this. And also, he's not deluded. He's not come to us like a Mourinho and acted like he's earned these three wins out of some tactical amazing knowledge or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And I get why Mourinho probably tried to do that, but he hasn't tried to do it. That's another positive. So I think there are some positives to look for with this guy. In terms of negatives, I think my main negative would be that If we were looking for a manager who prioritised creativity, I think that we would have went with some of the other options we were aligned with. And I'm not too sure if that's going to be the role that he, I mean, the way that he goes in the future. But again, that leads me to my interpretation of like Eriksen is a lot more similar to what Soft says. I recall Eriksen scoring lots of long range efforts. I recall lots of games where we used to scream for creativity. I recall all of these moments. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying Eriksen didn't give us assists. I'm not saying he wasn't a creative player. I'm saying that for large periods of matches, the team that we look like is not the team that we remember. If you get what I mean. So when Ndombele comes back, when things start happening, I think we can look like that team. I think things can start to happen. But I mean, yeah, in terms of guys like Dele playing that role, yeah, they got to go, man.
So I think one of the things that people... So players like Eriksen, and I said it in the group, that I think a lot of Spurs fans, and maybe because of his last 18 months, if you want to look at it like that, a lot of Spurs fans don't give Eriksen the praise he should get. Because
I'm talking about early Eriksen, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but I'm saying in general, even for his tenure, yeah, they don't give him the praise he deserves. Eriksen was the kind of player that, and Ndombele is the exact same, where they will break the lines with a pass. They had no problems with doing that. 90 minutes will go, no second thoughts, they wouldn't even bat an eyelid. That little slotted pass into the winger or into the striker's feet, they will do that on the turn without even looking. Yep, yeah, bam, take that, pop it back to me. Give it back. Or, and the difference between Ndombele and Eriksen, and a lot of people have said that they've noticed this, Eriksen would pop off shots from a distance. You can't name another midfielder in our squad that does that since he's left or while he was there. You can't. Like, if, and I made this point a couple pods back here. Sometimes when you're unable to unlock a team, yeah, you have to give them a different option, a different factor to fill. I don't rate Bruno like how some people will rate Bruno Fernandes. I don't rate him like that. And I have no problems in telling people I don't rate Bruno like that. But one thing Bruno will do is he will never allow you to figure out what he's going to do next. He could be 40 yards out, he'll take a shot. He could be 20 yards out, he'll pass it. He could be 10 yards out, he'll take a shot. Like, he could do many different things. And that's what Eriksen would do. Eriksen, I remember a goal he scored against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace sacked the whole game.
Yep, I remember that.
I was there.
They sat the whole game. Eriksen said, no, bun this. Have that. And he ended up being the winner. We don't have another midfielder in the team right now.
No, we don't have that. We don't got that.
Speaking to my soul right now.
The thing is, Ndombele does take shots, though, and he has scored like that in the past.
But Eric,
hear me out. I'm saying he's scored. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He scored shots like that, but he's not a natural. It's not natural in his game, though.
You're not getting what I mean by that, yeah? What I mean by, like, the difference between Ndombele and Eriksen, yeah? Ndombele is a better, and I will say this with chest, yeah? He is a more potent passer of breaking the lines than Eriksen was. Eriksen was more of a finesse, you know, yeah, I see you, boom, I'm gonna... Yeah.
Not close ever.
Ndombele is like, yeah, I see you, bow, into you, give it right back, we go again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's quick, fast, potent with it. His actual footballing brain is sick, yeah?
Mad.
The difference between Eriksen and Ndombele is, and you're saying, yeah, Ndombele has hit shots, but there's a big difference between when Eriksen's taking shots when Ndombele is taking a shot. Ndombele is like, yeah, you know what, boom, there might be a chance, I'm going to take a shot, bow. Yeah? Eriksen's like, chance or not, I'm going to make you have to try and save this. Yeah? And that is that different kind of like, there's a difference in the way you kind of like approach an attack. Like, Eriksen could be, he could have his body shape like this, yeah? To give an example, he could have his body shape like this, tap the ball out, everyone's thinking, right, he's going to spray it across to the right back. Nah. He cuts across that, and it's now direct at the keeper. The keeper's like, whoa, I wasn't prepared for that. Ndombele, when he shapes up, you can kind of be like, all right, yeah, no, he's shaping up to kind of shoot. The only time you will know when he's going to feint the shot and go for the slide, he drops his body. He drops his body little, and then he kicks it in. You got to watch these little nuances in these like midfielders to know the difference. And that's why I'm like, if Ndombele is coming back into the team, somebody like Ali has to go out wide. Now, I know people are not going to like that. They're not going to like what I'm saying. And trust me, I don't want Ali out wide, yeah? But you can't have Ndombele, Ali, Højbjerg in that midfield. It's not going to work, yeah? It's going to be an absolute mess. Although, people are saying, Ali's, you know, coming around doing all these little bits and all that kind of stuff. All right, yeah, cool, whatever. I don't want to hear it because I don't like the kid. Yeah. Ndombele goes in the Ali position. You know that you're getting those fiery balls into Son, into Kane, into whoever the right winger may be. Yeah. And somebody just said it in the comments. When I watched the Paco game or Pesos game or whatever they called it, that team, yeah, Paco Rabanne, 1 million, whatever. When I watched that game, yeah, I saw a particular player run into particular positions that I was like, yo, this kid, yeah, he has something about him. And I'm happy to let the season develop and I'll see it. And that was Brian Hill. I was like, look, the positions he was getting into, those are the way football works. The movement of the player determines the pass. It's not the passer that determines the play. So if nobody moves, there's no pass.
There's no pass.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing I like about Ndombele as opposed to previous Spurs midfielders. He'd be like, fine, there's no options. I'm gonna fizz it into you.
Make it.
I'm gonna get it back. And when I get it back, somebody's gonna move because they're gonna think, rah, we're doing something. And when they move, that's when I'm gonna find you. Yeah. And that's why you can't hold Ali. When people are like, oh, Ali's doing, Ali doesn't see that. Ali doesn't do that. Ali doesn't, yeah, boom, I'm gonna wing it into you. You're gonna wing it back. I'm gonna find somebody else with the third man pass. He doesn't
see that. Ali ain't got that. He ain't got that. But I think, don't you think Eriksen benefited from playing with Ali in terms that Ali back then anyway, Ali, he wasn't even good on like great on the ball back then. But what he did provide that back then was a willing runner. Eriksen
needed space. We
forget about it. We romanticize it, bro. Eriksen couldn't play in midfield. He needed space. We pushed him out to the wing. We had to get.
But that's the thing. It's all about the runners. You made a key point.
But hear me out. Let me finish the point, yeah? What we do is we isolate Eriksen. When we have this conversation, we isolate Eriksen. We talk about Eriksen's effect on the game. But we forget who really affected the game. Like, Eriksen was not really playing line-breaking passes, bro. That didn't really happen as often as we're going on. What used to happen a lot is Moussa Dembele used to beat three or four men and release it to Eriksen. Then Eriksen would be able to make a pass. But he wasn't really breaking lines. It would be 80 minutes of a low block and we'd be struggling, bro. Until someone's doing some death and mad effort.
I think that's more the last 18 months you're looking at.
You are right.
Last 18 months?
No, I wouldn't say it's the last 18 months. There were some games, I'm not even going to lie, there were some games where even when we had Dembele, Wanyama, Eriksen, Ali, Kane in the team, there were some games where we watched that at White Hart Lane and we struggled because we needed a little bit more in there. But I still think Eriksen played like line breaking passes. I don't think he played it to the regularity because he's not saying, I don't think he played it to the regularity of like a, I don't know, like a Iniesta or whatever. But
no, that's not his game.
But this is what I'm saying. Eriksen's a number 10. Like, his job was to get the ball from the midfield and find the attackers in the final third. And he did that, for me, he did that excellently well at Spurs.
That's what he was a whole player.
More often than not, he would find the attackers in the final third. And if he ain't finding the attackers and he's in a position to shoot, he will let off shots at goal. And the thing is, we can say stats don't mean anything and stuff like that, but his numbers literally prove that statistic. Yeah. Even when Spurs
look at Dele Alli's numbers, bro. Then he started.
Yeah, but Dele was.
We can do numbers, bro. Numbers.
Yeah, but yeah, it's true. But
numbers don't say what your performance is. I know you said it as a preface, but you were gonna use it anyway. But numbers.
No. I'm not because Eriksen's issue at Spurs, even when he was one of our best players, etc. His problem with Eriksen, his problem is he would coast in some games. He would coast. Everyone knew that. He would coast in some games, and sometimes when the assist or shot didn't come off, you would see his game for what it really was, a poor performance. And especially in these last 10, 12 to 18 months, we saw a lot more of those performances, even more so than what he used to give us before. Like the guy was legit playing terribly bad, but he would score like a screamer. Literally playing like Bruno, score like a screamer and that's it. But what I'm saying is, when he was at his best for Spurs, I don't think those games were as frequent, and I think we saw a way more consistent Eriksen and a way more impactful Eriksen. He was actually playing well in addition to to get in the final ball or get in the final shot. That's my opinion anyway, but yeah, I don't know.
I agree. Eriksen at his best, yeah, was definitely way more consistent than what we were seeing at the last 18 months. But one thing I would say is, I think it's more the team, like the team setup that Eriksen had at that time. When like people used to even cut him out of the front three, people would be talking about it as if it was Dele, Son, and Kane. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's weird. Basically, the point I'm trying to make is, I think Ndombele, in a lot of ways, he is more effective in this team than Eriksen has been a lot of the time. Like, let's say 60% of the time, I think Ndombele is more effective. I just don't think he has the whole team set up in a way that's as effective for his style of play. And I think that's where we're going to struggle. That's where we struggle with players like, as much as I like how Lucas Moura has performed this season, I think those are the places where we're going to struggle, man, with players like that. Like, players with no end product, because he's not even, we're not even getting it back to these players. Like, Ndombele might find a man like Yao to fizz it into his feet and be running in expecting to get it back. He's not even getting it back to be able to, like, lick a shot from the edge of the box and things like that. So, I don't know, man. I think it's a weird one, but...
You know what?
On Ndombele, I think that's been the case of the team not being set up perfectly for him in the past, but do we not think it's set up perfectly for him now? Not just for the two people sitting behind him, but it looked like we trained a lot in final third movement for the front three.
I think it is. When we're in possession, I think it's set up for him. The problem is when we're out of possession and you got to put in the hard yards and we're playing the better sides, that's when it's not set up for him.
This is why we got the two shuttlers behind him, though, bro.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but this is what I'm saying. It, like, what Toby's saying, and the thing is, like, the reason why I say we have to wait and see on that is because Toby made a very valid point there. Like, is it really set up for him? Maybe in the, like, attacking sense, when we're actually attacking. But in the defensive sense, it's definitely not. However, and I don't see this tactic often used in football nowadays. I don't know why. But a player like Ndombele has to be given free roll. He just has to be given free reign.
Like, free the rulers.
That's what I'm saying.
Otherwise, you're not going to get the best out of him. Tell the guy, look, I want you to work hard. Fine, that's fine, yeah? But I don't want you to do doggies, yeah? I want you to find the space everywhere. I don't care where the space is. You find it and make it happen. And one club that actually does that with one of their midfielders is City with Kevin De Bruyne. You will find Kevin De Bruyne everywhere on the pitch, yeah? I know people like to make this joke of, oh, he always shifts to the right and whips and crosses. But that's where the space is. So that's where he gets the majority of his assists from. So all the banner that people are saying towards him, yeah, you're laughing at yourself because the guy's been given a free role. Yeah, when you watch him pop up on the left, when C are behind, you'll see him pop up on the left, switch to the middle, go to the right, come to the left. Like, he doesn't stay still. But he's always a threat because he's the best passer in that team. We know that Ndombele is the best passer in our team. It's unequivocal. I know people are going to be like, Harry Kane's got a pass on him. Burn that more. Yeah? Ndombele is the best passer at Spurs. And I'll argue with anyone.
He is. Yeah, there's no debate.
That Spurs team, most versatile out of everyone. So you mean to tell me the best passer of the ball, we've got him doing doggies? Nah, man.
Bro, if Dembele and Eriksen done a fusion dance here, what we would end up with would be very close to Ndombele if we didn't only get their best qualities.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. We've got a mixture of them, but we haven't only got their best qualities. But a question I was going to ask you, like, it's when I see Ndombele play...
That's the thing, I said that, I think the thing that I feel like I wish he had that Eriksen and Dembele had, well, Dembele, when he wasn't injured, is that these guys could last. Like, they were durable in the game. Do you get what I'm saying? And Dom, he's got the quality. And I'm just, like, you have the quality to just dick on teams, man. Please, just dick on teams. You get what I'm saying? Bro, like, please, just do it.
And see, I was just going to ask this as well, yeah, because other than Dembele and Ndombele, I can't think of very many players. And this is going to sound stupid, but like Messi. But I can't think of very, very many players, yeah, who aim to pick up the ball and beat two or three men. Yeah,
and consistently do it as well.
Consistently, every game, everyone expects it, and like that is literally your role in the team. And then what I was going to say is, you've got Messi now. Messi doesn't have no defensive sort of like expectations, whereas we expect these players to do everything. And I think that's where we fail. Like, we run these guys into the ground. Imagine when before Dembele came to us, the original Dembele, he wasn't really doing no defensive work like that. And this, like, I don't know what Ndombele was like before he came to us, but in the Champions League, I think he's playing on the wing. I know.
So when we bought him, he wasn't actually a lot of people.
Can I ask a question as well? Yeah, and this is where like some Spurs fans, it really winds me up. And I think of course, sometimes I get that. In fact, more often than not, I get their logic, because I think, for the most part, Ndom needs to meet us halfway. Like, it's not just all down to the team. I agree that the structure, the team structure in the past, I don't think we've been able to get a structure that fits him like so naturally, but he needs to meet us halfway and actually want to be the best he can be at Spurs. But why in football now have we just got rid of like luxury players? Like, don't get it twisted. Of course, a player, like Yao said, a player obviously needs to offer the bare minimum in and out of possession. But there are clearly some players in the team who are not suited to put in the what's the word I'm looking for? The bleep test type marathons in a game. You get them the ball in areas where they can hurt teams, and they can hurt teams. Like Yao said, I've been screaming this Ndombele free roll thing for years now. Bro, let him do what he can do best. He is clearly at his best in possession. Get the midfielders behind him to do the dog, so to do the hard work, and get him the ball.
The reason for
did we try that, though?
Luxury players.
Yeah.
Is we're in that.
We did that under Mourinho.
Say that again?
We did that under Mourinho. We played him further forward as a 10.
It wasn't a free roll. He was just pushed further up. It wasn't a free roll. And like the free roll, like a lot of people get the free roll wrong with I hear what you're saying, but the thing with the free roll is the free roll literally is down to the player. That player is allowed to pop up anywhere on the pitch. Yeah. So if they want to pick up the ball from the left back, they can. If they want to pick up the ball from the right back, they can. Like that, that's the whole point of the free roll. The free roll is basically wherever there's space, that's where you operate. Yeah. A lot of people get that mistaken with many other things. And that's factors for another day. But with like players like Ndombele, you need to take into consideration that we have to take the reins of him. Like in the European game, you'll find that a lot of people.
I was only going to say as well, I know y'all's just been sidetracked there, but I was going to say on the point of luxury players, I think, do you not think our problem, I suppose, especially last season, is that we had too many luxury players and we just couldn't facilitate them all? Like, I feel like Kane, he's a luxury player. I felt like Son kind of showed more that he's probably a luxury player, tried to track back here and there. And Ndombele as well. So I think maybe, I mean, I don't know what you think, guys, but do you not think our problem was more just trying to facilitate too many luxury players?
I have a theory on it, but my theory is that I think other teams are a bit wiser. And what I think is that the floor has risen. So whereas before, teams that didn't have luxury players, like their teams weren't as technically gifted. I feel like teams that have, they have players that run and they're technically gifted enough. Yeah, that's what I feel like teams below are looking like at the moment. Like they're not really trying to get luxury players. Like they having the lowest common denominator is there. That's what I'm trying to say. They're fitting their ranks, or they're fitting their teams with players that are willing to do the running, players that are willing to do the effort. They may not be able to give you the free roll or the technical ability that we'd want from an Eriksen or an Ndombele, but they can do all of the basics. And I think when you're facing a team that can do all of the basics, like Owen said, you can't really carry three or four luxury players, because then you're asking six men to do all of the basics against 11 men that do all of the basics, bro. It's not
what I mean. This is why I wasn't a huge fan of Bale last year either.
So it's interesting that you say that. Yeah, and sorry, I got interrupted at HQ, but I'm back in it. Like, obviously, we're in the athletic generation. Yeah, so because it's athletic, everyone's fit. Like, even the unfit players are fitter than the average. So they're just fit. Yeah, so you're right. A lot of teams are going to have players that do all the basics. But I said this on another podcast, yeah. A lot of people need to take into consideration that the way of football in this part of the world, as opposed to the way of football in the rest of Europe, are completely different. Yeah, so you might get a Leicester. I think a Leicester City is a good example, unless everyone objects. A Leicester City will probably be a good example of a team that have a very good basics, but everyone in their team's very fit, very athletic, and like they do all the basics very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Leicester City will go into, say, the Champions League. I expect them to possibly get out of, like, say, a group stage if they had a good group draw, but they will get unstuck in the knockout stages. They will get touched up by, say, I don't want to say like a Barcelona. I'm trying to think of like a team that's we all consider to be good enough, but ain't as fantastic as they used to be. Let's say Atletico, yeah, for argument's sake, because I'm trying to think of like a team. Atletico will touch up Leicester City. Like, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, and Atletico, as hardworking as Atletico look, yeah, you can look in their team and you'd be like, you know what? João Felix, that's a luxury player. Saul Lugues, he looks like he does a lot of doggies, but he really isn't. He's a luxury player.
What
he
you
does
mean?
A bit, boom, boom, boom. And like, so the European game is always about space and technical ability. It's always what it's been about. It's never been about the whole crazy athletic side of things. And hence why a lot of English teams, like the top tier English teams, when they have that mixture of the luxury, or if we want to call it luxury and the hard workers in their team, they bang over teams.
Yeah,
because they've got the best of both worlds. But when they have just one side, like just the basics, they look good, they give you a good game, but essentially it's not enough.
And I can hear that.
Because we're in this athletic generation, yeah, you've got players like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. You've got players like Winks, yeah, that believe they should be knocking on first team football. No, they shouldn't. Like, they really shouldn't. Like, there's not much great about Winks's game apart from he's got a bit of an engine on. All right, cool. Yeah, he's not a great passer with the ball. He's not. He doesn't really break lines. He's not exactly physical in the tackle. And he's not got really a great shot on him. So he's basic across the board. But because he's extremely athletic, he complains generation. If we had gone back 15 years ago, he'd be our lower league team.
I'll defend Wings to the hill, but to be fair, I don't think he's that athletic. I can't lie. I don't think he's athletic.
I'm not talking about the flexibility of things. I'm talking about the capability of being
90 minutes,
able to do 90 minutes at a high rate. Like, that's when we're talking athletics, we have to talk about the stamina, the ability to still be running.
The passion, the desire,
the endurance. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Ozil at Madrid under Mourinho was an absolute monster. But Mourinho didn't play him past 70 minutes because he knew this guy's engine's going to die.
And they got packed in by Klopp's Dortmund team because of the running generation.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a bad team. It's a good point. But yeah, as we've been going on for an hour and a half now, we've got 15 viewers still in. It's been lovely. I just want to wrap up on one more final question quickly around the cast, as the transfer window is finally shut. I don't really like to do table predictions before the window's shut. Now we've got it shut. Where are we finishing in the Premier League? I'll start. I'm just going to say fifth. Tobes, what are you saying?
Sixth. I don't know. Fifth or sixth. I'd say, yeah, fuck it. Let's go for fifth. Let me be optimistic. Let's go for fifth.
Hey. Yo.
Yeah, I think top six is where I said in a previous post that I think we'd be looking at top six. I think fifth place is definitely not out of the cards, especially points wise. I think we've had a good start. So I'd say fifth, challenging for top four, judging on what I've seen.
Nah.
I agree with that as well, to be fair. Purely because we're not really in a European competition.
I don't think anyone in this season, I know it's the early part of the season, but I don't think anyone has hit or is going to hit the ground and take off. Like, looking at how the points ended towards the end of last season, I think it will be relatively the same this season. So I don't think the points difference between whoever's sixth and whoever's fourth or even third is going to be massive. I don't even think it will be more than 5 points, which I think it was even last season. So, So challenging for top four is not out of the cards. It's how it looks. That's
yeah. The question. It's fair to say as well, because we were within touching distance of fourth how many times last season and we bottled it. Fair so, time. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Tops will you soon.
I expect a lot of teams to finish above Arsenal. Just a lot.
Of course.
just a lot.
Paul Bearer carrying Edu and Arteta simultaneously.
I think we've in Ndombele reintegrated and regularly playing fifth. I don't see us any higher than fifth. Without Ndombele reintegrated, the lack of a positive creator and a proper balance in that midfield, I think sixth or seventh. I just look at this style for the start of it and I just feel like until I see something different, it's not sustainable. So sixth or seventh if we don't include Ndombele. But if we do and he's regularly playing, we're definitely going to be fifth or higher than that.
I hear that. An error.
So for me, I typically think I'm usually more positive on these things, man. But I would say that I think this year, because we don't have very many expectations, that's usually when we do well, man. It's usually when we have the expectations, that's when we start crumbling. I think we would be looking at around fifth. Challenging for four. That's what I think. But once the challenge starts, I mean, that's when it's due to start crumbling. That's not left.
Yeah. Typical nonsense attitude.
And the typical Spursy one, you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be it. Just a little bit of housekeeping just to sign out. We'll obviously be previewing our next fixture against Crystal Palace on next week's pod. We'll be around on the Discord for that. I'm looking to be on the Discord more myself, as I'm not working as many Sundays now. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be joined by myself and various members of the other cast throughout the season. And be sure to listen to the other club pods and Tobes' streams as well. They're on a regular. There's almost daily content coming from Touchline Fracker, coming from Tobes. So, yeah, feel free to lock in. And that was another pod from the new Spurs Order. Peace out, guys. Thank you for soft man of the match in the comments as well.
Jeez, we got soft.
Peace out,
damn soft.
On debut, Tunde Ndombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. A great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.